And so tonight, oh God, we ask that you replenish us from your ever available bounty. Let your mighty hand be stretched forth to bring us ventilation and strength in the spirit to the glory of your name. Psalms 121. We'll read from verse 1 and verse 2 as we take on a lesson on a very critical subject of biblical truth. The psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Maybe for the purpose of this lecture, we may just add the source of the help he was looking for. Because just in case Satan brings help, in verse 2, we know that he will not receive such help because he understands the source of the help that he's seeking. Alright? Okay, so, he said, I will lift up my eyes. How many of you still remember the book of Matthew? When Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when the devil came, he launched out his first temptation, and Jesus responded to him and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, remember that scripture? The word man there is anthropos. A-N-T-H-R-O-S. Anthropos means the primate, the being that stands erect and looks upward. That's the description of man from that word anthropos, which is a Greek word for man. A being that what? Homo erectus. For those of you that have done basic biology, that's Homo erectus. He is standing erect and is looking upward. It means he has binocular vision. Now, you will notice that a chicken's eyes are here and here. So the chicken can see 380 degrees. So even if you want to catch the chicken from behind, he can see you. But that's not the case with anthropos. Anthropos has binocular vision that gives him the capacity to look upward. So this scripture is a verse of scripture that is most descriptive of anthropos. I will look unto the hills, right? From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. So first of all, this anthropos was created to be insufficient. So one critical thing that we need to understand if we are going to be recipients of the grace of God is the word insufficient. So by default, you were created insufficient. And if you are not insufficient, if you don't sense that you are insufficient yet, wait a while. The reality of your insufficiency will hit you very soon. Maybe when the month just ended, so they just paid salary. So you sense that you have so much capacity, so much ability. You can turn things around. Hallelujah. Now, the point is this. Until you come to the knowledge of your insufficiency, you will not look from beyond yourself for help. This help that this anthropos is seeking to get from the hills, this help is not within himself. One of the greatest spiritual lessons you will have to learn is the understanding of the fact that God created you insufficient. That's quite humbling. You were able to read civil engineering in University of Agriculture. You were able to read law. You were able to read sociology. But I came to tell you, with all your education, God created you insufficient. When you start becoming wise in the spirit, an acknowledgement of your insufficiency will turn your face upward. Anthropos, a being created to stand erect. And also oriented to look where? Upward. Hallelujah. Many times, in order for you to be brought to that place where you can access the grace of God, God will need to defeat your confidence. Because he needs you to be anthropos. He needs you to look upward, sustain that orientation before he can supply his grace. So what he does most of the time is that he defeats your confidence. If you are such a person that is cerebral and you believe that you are more intelligent than any other creature that God created and that the world must revolve around you because you were made specially to be in the hem of affairs. Probably you made a first class. You were the best in your department. You were the best overall graduating student. And you believe that you have an edge over every other person that you encountered. In order for God to help you, what he will do is that he will defeat your confidence. He will bring you to a point where you are exposed to circumstances that cripple your stronghold. Because everyone must be brought to that point where he is made to look upward. Grace has a source in a throne. And that's why the Bible says that we need to come boldly before the throne of grace. But you see, you are not likely to come if you are still overwhelmed with a sense of personal sufficiency. So many times, in order for God to help you, he will defeat your confidence. I told you those days when I was on campus. If I tell you this, it is true. I didn't see anyone that could cram the way I could do. Cramming. I had a gift for it. I could lift things, I could retain stuff. And that was how I was getting by. In fact, it was so effective that I used to tell my mates that they were cursed because they read all night and fail. So in order for God to help the boy, what he did was that I finished cramming one day, entered into the exam hall, then everything I crammed vanished. Because I was gradually building my confidence, my possibility on my mental ability. And if you are going to access grace, God would need to make you look to the hills. And so what he did was that he allowed my confidence to hit the rocks. When you become vulnerable and then you realize that you cannot trust any faculty that is within you, you will now take on this orientation to seek help from without, to seek help from beyond you, to seek help from apart from you. And if you have not yet gotten to that point, you have not learned the first golden spiritual secret, which is the fact that God created you and I insufficient. Now, if you got that first point, then it will be easy to introduce the second point. This psalmist now reveals to us how that his help comes from the Lord. Because if he had stopped at help, you can add help from Akombo and it would help from Akpan, help from Aleku. So he now defined the source of the help that he was looking to the hills to secure. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Before we transit into verse 2, it will be needful for us to look at a few scriptures and understand the concept of insufficiency and how, what God had in mind before he created you insufficient. I know some of you ladies here, you have so much confidence in your beauty until all the people you consider ugly will marry. And then you are looking for attention, and then you realize that your resources are not sufficient to prosecute your destiny. Then you will now take on the anthropos form, looking. If you are going to be able to adequately interpret the dealings of God around your life, if you will ever interpret it adequately, if God decides to unveil reveal, disclose the workings of his hand around your life, the system he put in place It's a system of grace. And if you are going to see a revelation of the workings of the hand of God, in order for you to qualify for grace, you must sustain this posture. And so God's hand will war with you until it is an acknowledged fact that the help you seek is not in you. Okay? So that orientation is very descriptive of the posture that anyone that will access the grace of God must sustain. In the book of Zechariah chapter 4, I would like to read a scripture, maybe just a verse of scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, just a verse of scripture. Then he answered me. I don't want to begin from the discourse that led to this response, because my emphasis is in this response and I'm rushing for time. Then he answered me and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto, can you put your name there, unto Mimi. This is the word of the Lord unto you. You see, yeah, several times in scripture when you find God being specific, where he says, this is the word of the Lord unto so and so. If you want to be very practical in dealing with God, you might need to replace that name with yours. Because what God is saying to one is actually saying to all. He will not edit it to speak it to you. It's the same form in which he addressed someone that he will address you under the same circumstances. So, this is the word of the Lord unto. What did he say? It is not by might. Wait. I know that there is, you have might. Just like we saw in the scripture that we used to introduce this subject of grace. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is never weary, and there's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to who? To the faint. And to them that have no strength, what does he do? He increases strength. If that scripture had stopped there, young people like you and me would say, is it not written in the Bible that the glory of the young man is his strength? So we will claim that that scripture is not for us. It's only for old people that have wearied themselves in the battles of life. You, that you are a young leaf, full of might. That scripture has no correlation with you. He comes to the rescue quickly in the next verse. He said, even the young men, because he knows what you will make out of it if that addition is not brought into view. Even the young men shall faint. They shall be weary. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. It means your physical strength will waste if you use it against a situation that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. Your physical strength will waste. And you will be in a state of defeat without recovery. You will utterly fall. Are you with me? Now, oh my God. Stay on my scripture. Okay. What is the message of God unto you? It is not by. I remember those days we had a more older student on campus. And because he was physically old in age, he thought physical age was the equivalent to spiritual maturity. He took it for granted. So anytime he comes to us, he brings a message like this. That those days! We'll be praying. Sisters will visit us. We'll be praying the night. Nobody will think about immorality. But these days, you people, you young people, Satan has flooded your heart. And when he makes those statements, we'll pray and say, hey, Lord, deliver us from Satan. Deliver us. The next time again, when he comes, and he doesn't laugh. He might laugh before he comes for fellowship, but when he comes, they didn't used to keep malice, but we are carrying malice like knapsacks. That God must help you. So we now pray.
So the way we saw him, that he had outgrown temptation, he had outgrown lust, he had outgrown anger. He was just a living perfect master on the soil of. The day he fell, he fell so hard that we heard it. You know, think of Goliath, eh? And it was a small damsel that brought him down. Very small. Are you with me? He was walking in spiritual pride. And sometimes, please hear this statement. I battle with this statement for 2 days before, and I believe I have clearance to make it. That is what I want to make. Sometimes God may even allow you fall just so that he can defeat your pride. Can allow you. Because I believe in that brother's case, he was allowed to fall. The person that fell, that made him fall, was his very tiny. I don't know. The moment he fell, then he now discovered that what? It is not by. May you not go through an experience that is bitter before a simple scripture will now make meaning to you. Because you refuse to add your name, exchange Zerubbabel, and put your name. When you now fall, then the inside will not say, oh, not by power. That means that is, the Holy Ghost is saying, we were trying to communicate to you, you were hardened. So now that you are on sick bed for recovery, intensive care unit, we are applying the toll, and then we are ministering the word of the Lord that we try to communicate to you all this while. It is not by power. He kept preaching to us that we were filthy, we were dirty people. And we believed and went to God for help. While we were in the process of help, he was basking in his spiritual pride. And guess what? The small damsel. May the Lord give you understanding. It is not by might. It is not by power. Now listen. Listen. The moment a situation befalls you, it is easy for us to know if you are a spiritual man or a carnal man. The way you respond. A spiritual man knows he's not by power. So there's nothing he does in the flesh that can change anything. So he's going to God to seek wisdom. Because he knows that the help is not in himself. But a carnal man comes up with a strategy. And he moves in line with a strategy. The result that they will get will not be the same. Are you with me? And if that situation is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit, there is no strategy that comes from the resources of the fallen nature that can do any good. And so this is a golden rule, is an understanding that all flesh need to know. This is the message unto Aldo. It is not by power. It is not by might. Guess what? That guy stopped preaching to us. After that, great fall. Because, you know, imagine a giant when he fall, Goliath, you will hear go, 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 go. The news spread. His fall made news. So, and that was the humility that was needed for him to become Anthropos, the being that stands erect and looks upward. That's how you were created. You were created with an angulation. The things that you require for life and destiny, they are not in yourself. And so we have an economy in the New Testament that actually makes for what is required to complete you. Is that clear? All right. So it's not by power, it's not by might, but it is what? By my spirit, says the Lord. Now, if we look at this scripture, you will find a few things I would like us to take note of before we proceed. First thing I want us to take note of is the real definition of grace. Because if I pass the microphone now and ask you, what is the definition of grace? Someone is likely to say, it's unmerited favor. And I'm trying real hard to fix that into the theology of grace. Trying real hard. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not with me. I normally ask where we got that unmerited favor. That's too cheap an answer. That's too cheap. It's just like, it's too cheap.
He says it's not by power. He says it's not by might. How is it?
Now, so you cannot talk about grace without saying that God makes himself available to make up for your insufficiency. How is that unmerited?
It is God himself that makes the resources of himself available to make up for what your power and your might cannot do. If you take God out of the equation of grace, you have a cheap answer, a cheap definition. When God is a grace is a strange arrangement. It's a strange arrangement that occasions God to be factored with his creation as the helping and the assisting power.
If you look at scripture from the perspective of the book of Genesis, you will find God as a creator and a spectator at the same time. And the perspective that the book of Genesis tries to sell to us is that our God is separate from his creation. So he creates some stuff and then he comes and then he looks upon it and he estimates it. He gives a value to it. He tries to see if what was created is consistent with the mark of his glory. And when he does, he uses a unit of acceptance called good to mark that level of accomplishment. So we see God as a spectator, separate from his creation. Are you with me? But in the New Testament, there's another arrangement. Because of the insufficiency of man, and that insufficiency cannot be met by any other thing except God. Are you with me? I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from. So only God can fill that void of insufficiency in humankind. So the arrangement in the new creation is that God is factored within his creation as the helping power, the supporting force, the reinforcing element. Oh my, you're not here. And it is that arrangement that is grace. It is no longer going to be by own power, but it's going to be by spirit power. Oh, you're not here. It's not going to be by your own might, but it's going to be by spirit might. Have you seen that scripture that says that God will strengthen us with might? Where's the might? By his spirit in your inner man. No, you see, I almost got there. Because you must understand that the glory, oh my, you're not with me. The glory, the excellency of the Christian life is not that a life changed. Because you can achieve change through many sources. Even the Nigerian prisons has changed her name to Correctional Center. Correctional. So when they catch a thief, then they take you through the process of activities that is geared at achieving change. You are corrected. You were deformed before. Now the system is put in place to achieve what? Correction. Change. Now the Japanese monk that stays in the monastery almost all his life, he may claim to have achieved change through soul meditations, accessing other forms of spiritual reality for balance. And then he is able to mutilate and to subdue the desires of the fall. So he is in a state of control. What all this English that I just spoke is about is that he was able to bridle himself through discipline to achieve a change of response and character. So there are many forms of change that humanity can claim to be able to achieve. The testimony of Christianity is not change. Change is wonderful, but that's not the testimony of Christianity. It is exchange. Because when God comes to be factored in your vessel, are you with me? If you understand the principle of insufficiency, you will allow him to be the one that will supply the resources for your insufficiency. Do you understand that? So it is him that is at work. And you can now share the kind of testimony that Paul shared when he said, "It is no longer I that liveth. It is Christ that has taken over
my vessel, my abilities are no longer mine. They are funded by the Spirit of God. That kind of resurrected living is a function not of change, but of exchange. Because in the New Testament, God is not apart from his creation. God is what? Within his creation. Do you get it? Exchange. This kind of change has a reference. It is not change enough until it is Christ that is on display. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It has a reference. Oh my God. So let's go step by step. Take you one after the other. One point after the other. I think we need to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Then we'll read verse 5. There are two things I need to bring to our knowledge quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. You will never be a master of spiritual things. Never be a master of spiritual things except you come to an acknowledgement of the fact that you were created insufficient. That was God's design. That was God's approach for creation. And I will show you why he designed us that way and what it takes for you to take advantage of the resources he makes available to quench and to overtake the vacuum of our insufficiency. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5, the Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. There are two things I need to bring to our knowledge here. The first thing is not that we are sufficient of ourselves. See, there's sufficiency of ourselves. There's sufficiency in ourselves. But let's start with of. What does it mean when we say someone is claiming to be sufficient of himself? Of. I think this is supposed to be a Bible study class. Sufficient. Are you sufficient of yourself? Are you sufficient in yourself? Do you think anything as of yourself? What's the difference to that? Sufficiency. This is a discovery. It's a, not as though we are sufficient of ourselves. Because when you begin to do things, walk in grace, walk in the life of the Spirit, many people will come to you and say, Pastor Tony, heal us. Because they cannot see what you are working with. They're only seeing you in the grace of God, in the power of his sufficiency in your life. Oh my God, you are not here. They're only seeing you manifest the grace of God. So they attribute the manifestations that flow out of your life to you, to what you are contained, what is contained in you, what you are, what you have become. And then the moment someone rushes to you and says, heal us, then you now discover that it, those dimensions they saw that attracted them to you, it was not because you were sufficient of yourself. You are not following me. So, since you are not following, we'll discard this scripture. And then we'll lift it up subsequently. But a spiritual man is not ashamed to tell you he's not sufficient of. If you find a man, you know, someone traveled so far and was expecting a prophetic word that if he sees me, he knows I will have something. But when he came, there was nothing. He tried to push me and I told him, you are already wrong. If you achieve getting any word with this manipulation you are doing, it will be wrong. Meanwhile, for your information, there are times even in heaven when there is silence. God is not speaking. Angels are not speaking. There is silence in heaven. You will be more honest if you know by revelation that you are not sufficient of yourself. You'll be able to tell people, that thing you are looking for is not available now. However, there's a manual method that can pray for you by faith. But the oil you saw that made you think I was all sufficient, it's not here right now. Oh my God. Do you understand that? You will be able to admit when you understand you are not sufficient of
yourself.
When you hear a pastor say, if I see your face, I prophesy, I know he is operating with the spirit of divination. Because there are times that even in heaven, there's what? There's silence. A man that does not acknowledge that he is insufficient of himself will manufacture something to please you. And the more you keep manufacturing those things, the more familiar spirits will begin to minister to you.
If we don't settle this problem of sufficiency from the grassroots, anything you build on this edifice will be erroneous. And so the arrangement that God has in the New Testament is that He, His Spirit within you is the object of your sufficiency. So according to God, it is man plus Holy Ghost that is equal to sufficiency. Can we now do Romans chapter 8? We'll read from verse 26, then you'll understand this equation. But I want to give you an assignment. Okay, this scripture only speaks of sufficiency of ourselves. There's another scripture that speaks about sufficiency in ourselves. The sufficiency is not in us. It is in the Holy Spirit. So, all of us will need to learn the orientation in the book of Psalms 121. I will look to the hill. We'll go into that scripture deeply, which is seeking grace. There is a trick, a method, a tactic by which you can access grace. Even though grace is warehoused in the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? Grace, even though it's warehoused in the Holy Ghost, it will not naturally flow to quench your insufficiency. There is a protocol that grace responds to. You know, grace is meted out from an administration, a throne in the spirit. So we have not come to that. When we go to that, then I will explain deeply what lifting up your eyes to the hills means. Likewise, the Bible says that the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So the God of glory decided to create you with infirmities. The great God of heaven, it pleased Him to create you with weaknesses. The gospel of the grace of God will not be understood except all of us understand that we are bags of infirmities. If you know you are a bag of infirmity, you will not boast quickly. Because it is not by power. It is not by mind. It is what? By what? The Spirit of God. I remember those days. There were five of us that finished the university. And we were in my uncle's house. We didn't have jobs. So, and then one of us now was given a job. He got a job, right? So, he will come back from the office to lecture the rest that didn't have jobs how to have a job. He suddenly became a lecturer. Became so wise. So wise, he will come and say, you see, the way you are operating, you will not have a job. He didn't know it was grace. And when the rest had their own jobs, he lost his own. So it means his time of lecturing was short-lived. Because he couldn't acknowledge that it was the grace of God that was at work. Even in this thing we call the anointing, you need to even mature before you share some testimonies. You need to keep some things for 7 years before you share it. You need to keep it. Senior brethren, they were cautioning a young minister that was rising. And you know what the young guy said? I've made my mark in the body of Christ. I've made my mark. When you hear that men die, nothing is as prideful as a mortal man that claims to be serving Jesus, not to acknowledge that the fuel upon which he runs is grace. Those of you that preach regularly, you know that there are times when, haven't preached in this meeting, preached in that meeting, preached in this meeting, there are times when you are spent of grace. And the reality of your insufficiency downs. For me, the way it shows itself is that all the symptoms of my stammering, they are restored. Then I know that my vessel is empty of grace. So I hide and cry. And I look to the hills for another supply. If you go in that state, you are likely to pick an arrow. The kind of infirmity. Yes. I know these things. I have experienced it before. Because people will be hailing you the prophet of the end time. Meanwhile, you are lacking in grace. And then you shake yourself like Samson and say you want to do something. Meanwhile, it was a setup to bring you out of the secret place so that the dragon can strike you. You still remember the dragon? With his tail, he brought down a third of the third part of the stars of heaven. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. We know not. We have a very wide scope of infirmities. He said, we know not what we should pray as we ought. What the Spirit, can you put himself there? The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It was the Spirit that was designed to help our infirmities. And the way the Spirit of God helps your infirmities is not the way human beings know how help comes. He has a way of helping you that men are not aware of. In prosecuting spiritual matters, one of the greatest insufficiencies we suffer is the insufficiency that has to do with knowledge. If you are praying, for instance, many times you come into the prayer room without a prayer point, and when you begin to pray, you come to a point where your the faculty of knowledge, which is the unction that we have received from the Holy One, is activated. Then you know the most accurate prayer point to pray in that session, because you are being guided by the Holy Ghost. That's what we call prophetic praying. You allow the Holy Spirit to bring the prayer point. Prophetic praying is different from anointed praying. In prophetic praying, we allow the Holy Spirit to crystallize the prayer, to bring the prayer point. And it's not just the Holy Ghost that brings the prayer point. It's the Holy Spirit that determines the errand of prayer, whether it has reached its terminus. When you begin to operate by Spirit accuracy, the Holy Ghost gives you the prayer points. The Holy Ghost reveals to you when you have handled this case and then gives you another prayer point. If you pray like that regularly, you will be able to finish your prayer and come out, and on the news you see the things you prayed about have happened. That's a Spirit-guided missile. It's more terrible than a laser-guided missile. You are insufficient. And it is the Spirit of God that is designed to help your weaknesses. That help that the Spirit of God makes available in order to deal with issues of insufficiency and infirmity, that help is what the Bible calls grace. Grace. So the way God ordained it is that men were supposed to function by grace. That's the reason for all the lecture. It is not by might. It is not by power. What is it by? By the Spirit. Grace. By the help. The Holy Ghost will not bring help to you if you don't think you need it. It's a gentleman. Don't limit the aspect of help that the Holy Spirit has to give you. He can teach you how to make money. It's only when you want to marry, you want to, the Holy Spirit to tell you who is my husband, who is my husband, who is my husband. Oh my God, you are wasting resources. He is here to help all of your infirmities. If you reduce it to marriage, yes, he will help you in marriage, and then he will stand aside. And the kind of help he makes available is different from what you think you need. But the Holy Spirit knows you more than you know yourself. So he helps you according to his insight about your scope of need. Hallelujah. I went to preach. I was sick some time ago. And I was so sick, I thought I would die. I know it has never happened to you before, but I was so sick, I thought I would die. While I was lying on the bed, I had a dream. I mean a short dream. And in that short dream, I saw Jesus came to me. He said, why are you troubled? Just follow me. He said it 3 times. And then I woke up. It was the Holy Spirit that made it possible for me to have that encounter. What I needed was encouragement. And it was Jesus that came to encourage me. Oh, I should forget these things happen so I won't die. Ow! My only job is to do what? Follow. Meanwhile, the sickness was still there, but it lost its authority over me. Do you understand? The way I felt, he didn't touch the sickness. What he did was just So even with the sickness, I knew that the sickness did not have the authority that it was preaching. It was preaching death. It was preaching destruction. And the moment the Holy Spirit gave me a window, I had the perspective of Jesus. And Jesus said, those things that I'm troubled about, they are not on record, that I should follow him. Guess what? I didn't give attention to the sickness again. And when the sickness saw that I was no longer attending, I didn't know when he left. Follow me. And he changed everything. The devil knows that you are insufficient. And so what happens is this: when you have a challenge that you cannot solve, like house rent, then the man comes and shows you a picture of how the landlord will evict you. And when you are evicted, and your television will be on your mattress, and then it will begin to rain with lightning. You know, to make you so vulnerable, he's taking advantage of the fact that you don't have all knowledge. The Bible says that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmity, because we know not. Satan knows you don't have all knowledge. So he will give you a kind of knowledge that is consistent with what he wants to implement in your life. And because you don't have all knowledge, you are likely to believe him. So if the Holy Spirit wants to help you under that circumstance, he brings another form of knowledge. A knowledge that comes from Jesus. So that's what happened to me. Satan preached to me until I felt death. Death had come. And then Jesus came and said, why are you just follow me. That's the job. And suddenly, all of the manipulations of the devil lost its authority just because the Holy Spirit made available to me little help. Oh, has Satan visited you recently to tell you about your biological time clock and how that you are becoming old as a lady and nobody has come to propose? And in your dream, you see wedding ring. Ah! And Satan has used it to break your soul. Don't conclude that message you heard is the last message until you have heard from the Holy Ghost. Because Satan knows you don't have all knowledge. He gives you knowledge. Knowledge of what he wants to do. Knowledge of how he intends to frustrate you. And you are likely to believe him. You're likely. Because of your humanity. And then the Holy Spirit comes to the rescue. And shows you a vision of you at the beach running with two of your children. The Holy Spirit will not start by solving your current problems. He will just show you the future. And then the authority of the devil to manipulate you in the present time will just. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So if you have walked with God and you have seen the efficacy, how powerful grace is in the face of darkness, you can say like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. As long as that grace does not fail, Satan will never win. I have no power of my own. Oh, Jesus. And I have no power of my own. The first thing that grace will do to you is that it will give you knowledge. This knowledge will disarm the lies of the devil. And I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I have no power of my own. That's the first thing he will do. I have no power of. I have no power of my own. I confess, Holy Spirit, I have no power of my own. We went to
to Taraba to preach the gospel. It's a very, very difficult trip. Our team that went ahead of us with equipment, with instruments, got, they were waylaid by the bandits, by Boko Haram. Took their phones and wounded one of our brethren. And the news got to us in the prayer room. Thank God, nobody lost his life. Our medical people on the other side took him. They had to stitch the place. The next day, we moved. After the first night of the crusade, there is this armored cable that we normally use. 750,000. Somebody came and stole it. I now went to God and said, "See, our team was coming for crusade. Huh? Are you with me? How much did we spend? About 4 million. 4 million? I think more than 4 million. But it cannot be less than 4 million, okay? The reason why we went there was for souls. That's all. Nothing else. I said, "Lord, we're going for souls. One of my brothers is already wounded. Today, now, the welcome the people gave us was armored cable." And I went to report to God. This is not good. He saw that I was sincere. So, okay, let's help. Then he opened my eyes. Then I saw Northeast Nigeria. So, I don't know how I will say that you will not understand. I want you not to understand. I saw three thrones that heaven had put in that territory to manage the territory. Three of the thrones were empty. That means the occupants of the thrones is either they are dead or they left their duty post. And God now revealed that the reason for the crusade is not about the crusade. It has nothing to do with the event that we are doing. It is so that he can fill up one of those administrative thrones that will bring the witness of God to northern Nigeria. He told me the name of the person that occupied that throne before now. One of the thrones I'm talking about. And that throne has to do with an authority that commands miracles, signs, and wonders. Those of you that know the Northeast should have an idea of who I'm talking about. The person wandered away from the territory. This throne I'm talking about is built into that territory. And the last occupant of the throne wandered out of that location. And where the person went to, the person is not dead, but is better. He's more dead than alive right now. He said, "The reason why I quickened you people to come to the Northeast is so that I can add authority to your missionary witness by giving you access to that throne of miracles. It has nothing to do with armored cable and Boko Haram. If you hear from the Holy Ghost, you will know that Satan is a liar." I said, "Oh my God. Oh my God." Today, Shala and the other people, they are in Uganda. And they sent me some clips of the administration. We inherited that thing from that place. And you see, the proof that we inherited it is not only me that operates it. So where is armored cable in this equation? Armored cable. Satan will make you worried about the wrong things because you know not. And he will keep you in depression and in bondage just because you don't have help. You are going to languish in that state of despair until the Holy Ghost brings help. He said, I, I push you people, so that you can receive authority for the miraculous. So I became conscious of that. We went to Enugu, cripple walk. We went to Oka, cripple walk. We went to Aba, cripple. You will see those people walking, we say, Kai! Then you go and put up a miracle meeting next week. And then people will even die in the meeting. Because it was when we went to Enugu, I now discovered. Are you? You're not with me, you're not. In Enugu, I prayed for eyes. And the Holy Ghost told me that one girl's ears opened. I didn't pray for ears, I prayed for eyes. But he told me that someone's ears have opened. So the lady came up. Then we now began to interview her. How did you become deaf? You know how she became deaf? She went for a miracle meeting. And the pastor prayed for her. That's how she became deaf. I will not press on that. That's how she became deaf. So, okay, I say I won't press. Let's leave that. It was a crusade. He went. She was hearing before. It was when she decided to go for the crusade. She came back home deaf. And she was deaf ever since. It was that meeting we held. God was in a hurry to heal her. I don't know why. So we prayed for the eyes and her ears popped off. Don't accept until you hear from God. The first thing the Holy Ghost does when he administers grace is that he gives you insight from God's perspective. And if you receive insight from God's perspective, every other thing that Satan has said, you will know it is a lie. You may not know because Satan will be speaking to your flesh. I see you have not paid rent. You'll be casted out. The moment you are out, it will rain. Your television, everything will be destroyed. So it will now begin to look as if that's the plan of God, that God has abandoned you. Then he will say, see, God has left you. You see? We know not. But the Spirit himself, he will give you the knowledge that you need. Sometimes it doesn't even touch the situation. It just brings the perspective. And then the situation of lies, they lose authority over your soul. Oh my God. Today we want to pray. Because if anything we need, we must maximize the presence of the Spirit of God in our spirit. Because God designed man to function by grace. Because of time, no time. We want to just pray quickly and say, Holy Spirit, I surrender. I need your help. Walk in my life. Open my eyes to see things that I do not know. Jose Camise Silacunza Mantalia. Jose Cabasucle Brasquito Mokoria. There are things that you don't know. It is only when you call unto him that he will answer you and he will show you. He will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Sebrusketa mina brata baboli malateli. Samon Seli Cobres Ketomongo Borosali Mahalia Ambresco Fela Masuke Braski Taila Momoria Sika Mentala Yaso Socombre Macabon Sali Bresco Fela Matatalia
Rika Monzeli, Escobo, Silo Monteli Makari. Cobreskila. Do not concede. Do not believe until you have heard from the Holy Ghost. Satan will preach to you. Satan will preach through the circumstances. He will preach through the situation. He will make you look like a fool. He will make you look like a loser. Don't believe until you hear from the Holy Spirit. I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I have no power without you. And I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I have no power without you. I confess, I confess. I confess to you, Holy Spirit, I have no power of myself. I confess. I confess, no power of my own, and I confess.
That you are insufficient. A lot of power is released. The Holy Ghost comes close. He comes close to you to whisper to you, to give you wisdom, to give you direction. Oh, can you make it a prayer and say, Holy Spirit, this matter, I actually have no wisdom to tackle it. If only you can speak into my heart. If only you can whisper. If only you can whisper. If only you can whisper. If only you can speak. Manzai koseli mokonde masala babu. Zamokele boboria sika salababu tami. La sosela briska breka bunda. Emboresko. Zagalendo ria sika meza zalabu. Second embrace, Capontes, Cama Salata. Aha! Imama Ecoseli. Eke Kelimosan. We confess, O Holy Spirit. We confess, O Holy Spirit.
power. No power. No power of man at all. And we confess to you, Holy Spirit. We have no, no power of our. And we confess to you, Holy Spirit. We have no, no power of God. And we confess to you, Holy Spirit. We have no power. And we come to you, Holy Spirit. We have no. Escubelaminate, iso santa mande no baboria, ibabose kilato, iscombre la mancala, prescombelamos que no voto, mahalatale no, nascombe natania planta babori. We come back.
Tell him you
have no power of your own. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to tell him that you tried by yourself many times and you failed. Don't be ashamed. You were created insufficient. Don't be ashamed. To admit, to agree, we have no power of our own. And we come to you, Holy Spirit. We have no power. We come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I am not ashamed. That's the secret of spiritual strength. The secret of spiritual power. It is not by power. It is not by man. It is by the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to tell. Don't be ashamed to pour your heart out and say, I tried but I failed. Don't be ashamed. For he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Don't be ashamed. We have no power of our own. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. When you find yourself alone in the closet, confess to the Holy Ghost. The reason why I failed is because I won't let go. I didn't acknowledge that I was insufficient. I didn't see what was coming. So I confess, I don't have what it takes. An acknowledgement of your insufficiency is the beginning of your spiritual walk. Remember, it is not change, it is what? Exchange. You leave the way and allow Christ to come with spirit power. That was what? A lesson that was passed to Zerubbabel. It is not by power. It is not by mind. It is going to be by
the Spirit of God.
So as we teach, as we lecture, we'll just be opening grace gradually. There are deep quarters in the rivers of grace. We are just trying to begin to scratch it a little. But this journey begins with an acknowledgement of the fact that you are insufficient.